Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
UAW gets a new contract with Caterpillar, and it's a pretty darn good one. As expected, Michigan moves to repeal right to work. And today on the show, we check in with the Ohio AFL-CIO and the Communication Workers of America. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 14th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Tim Berg is going to be our first guest on the show today. He is president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. For complete updates, go to ohioaflcio.org. We're going to get into some legislation that's being talked about down in Columbus, a transportation bill, and rail safety. Boy, that's a hot potato of a topic ever since that train, a Norfolk Southern train, derailed in East Palestine, Ohio. In fact, the Transportation Board is investigating Norfolk Southern, and they said over the weekend that their proposed safety goals are not robust enough. In the meantime, I feel so bad for the people in that area because many of them, due to the toxic spill from that train derailment, they're trying to get out of there, and their property values have diminished. They can't even sell their homes. That is a heck of a story, and it's a story that's going to be with us for a long time. In the meantime, how about this? Norfolk Southern is the most profitable U.S. rail company, and they finally agreed to union demands and will start to offer 4 paid sick days to workers. The agreement with the Transportation Communications Union and the National Conference of Firemen and Oilers makes it so that unions at 4 out of the 5 largest rail companies in the country have now secured paid sick leave. And that all happened in the past month. This was a big issue, as you recall, last year, which almost resulted in a strike. Some legislative issues. House leaders in the state of Ohio have revived a controversial state constitutional amendment to make it harder to amend the state constitution, which could have major ramifications for a number of ballot issues coming up in the next couple of years. Also, they're talking tax cuts, income tax cuts, lower property tax cuts, and stopping over $1 billion per year in state payments to local governments. It all sounds good, but some progressive research groups, one being Policy Matters Ohio, says it does nothing for low-income Ohioans. We'll get Tim's view on that. Frank Matthews will be joining us on behalf of the Communication Workers of America. And he covers District 4, which includes 5 states in the Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And there is certainly good news coming out of Michigan. And that is the legislature just last week passed some bills to restore workers' rights and reinstate a prevailing wage law. The bills repeal the right to work law passed, this was over 10 years ago, in 2012, and reinstate the prevailing wage law, which was eliminated in 2018. Testimony from many union members drove the committee hearing that sent the bills to the House floor, where they both passed. This was last Wednesday evening. Ron Bieber is the State Federation president there, and he said, "Our pro-worker Democratic majority in the State House took historic action to undo the devastation caused by decades of attacks on workers' freedom. Today, our legislative leaders are delivering on the promises they made and putting power back into the hands of Michigan workers." Now, if right to work is repealed It'll be the first such state legislative action in 58 years. The bills now go to the Michigan Senate, where consideration is expected probably later this week. Certainly good news. That all happened in the middle of the night when Rick Snyder was the governor and they had a pro-Republican majority. And Snyder said, this is back in 2011, 2012. He said when he was campaigning, oh, no, I'm not all about right to work. But then the far right lawmakers in the legislature pushed him over and said, well, let's do it. And they did it like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Really sad, really sad. So that's one thing Frank is going to talk about. Also organizing a majority of workers at eBay-owned TCG Player won their union election. This was last Friday, March 10th. They will be represented by the Communication Workers of America. This would be Local 1123. TCG Player is one of the largest online marketplaces for verification services for card games, comics, and collectible trading cards. The company was acquired by eBay back in November. The workers, known as TCG Union-CWA, are the first group of eBay workers to win union representation in the U.S. Got a comment here from one of their workers, Jennifer Bonham. She said, we're ready to take on a more active role in determining the conditions of our work to ensure a better quality of life for ourselves and a better quality of service for our customers. We're excited to finally have a seat at the table, a real voice on the job, and the protections provided by our union to ensure fairness and dignity in the workplace. Also news here, Chris Sheldon, who's been the president of the CWA, who worked his way up from being a telephone lineman back in New York City, going back to 1968, to the presidency of the CWA, position he had for the last 8 years. He's going to retire at the end of this summer's union convention. Now, the Secretary Treasurer, Sarah Steffens, she's the number two officer, would, if elected by convention delegates in St. Louis, be not only the first woman ever to head the union, but also the first president not from its telecommunication workers. She's a former newspaper reporter in the San Francisco Bay Area and a former organizer for her union, the News Guild. Now, the News Guild, which was independent for many, many years, affiliated with the CWA. In fact, we're going to have them on the show, I believe, a week from today. So some changes there at the top happening this year. Another topic that we're going to touch on with Frank is Microsoft. You may recall me talking about this last year. Microsoft acquired a number of companies, gaming companies, where workers like the one I just mentioned at eBay are trying to organize. And Microsoft said, you know what? If they want to organize, they can do it. We're going to remain neutral. I tell you, that was a surprise and a shock to a whole lot of people. And I was just thinking, can you imagine the ranks of unions, how much they could swell if more companies followed the lead of Microsoft? Stay neutral. Don't fight the union. Let people decide if they want. If they don't want a union, okay. But if they want a union, let them try. Let them try to do that. Talk to the members. Get an organizing campaign going on. And that's exactly what's happening with Microsoft. Hopefully, more companies will follow their lead down the road. So Frank Matthews, he'll be our second guest on the show today. All right, this next segment brought to you in part by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You could find more at boydwatterson.com. UAW, proud sponsor of America's Workforce, United Auto Workers, ratified a new contract with Caterpillar, Inc. across four locals in Illinois and Pennsylvania. The vote, which occurred over the weekend, covers 7,000 UAW members, and get this, brings them a $6,000 ratification bonus, wage increases, a higher 401k match, and other benefits. And how about this? The new contract will last 6 years. Well, after a January vote passed with over 98% over union members in favor, both the unions and the company have been preparing for a possible strike. So this is good news. In fact, the UAW was bracing for this for a while, and they increase strike pay to $500 a week. In fact, Caterpillar trained a number of salaried employees to manage factory operations in case of a strike, but that's not going to happen. And the workers, I'll tell you, they're happy today. $6,000 ratification bonus. President Biden is considering various replacements for the former Labor Secretary, Marty Walsh. The White House continues to vet current Deputy Labor Secretary Julie Hsu, who would be the first Asian American to serve as a cabinet secretary in the Biden administration and has the support of the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, as well as much of organized labor. Well, there was a couple of reports over the weekend indicating the latest prospective candidate is Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, and she received the endorsement of Senator Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, some labor leaders are pushing President Biden to select the outgoing executive director of the National Football League Players Association. That would be DeMaurice Smith. Having vowed to be the most pro-union president in history, President Biden's choice will be closely scrutinized, according to various media reports. No surprise there. And three ambulance unions representing tens of thousands of workers across England have agreed to suspend proposed strikes in order to enter pay negotiations with the government. Now, the strikes were scheduled for yesterday and tomorrow of this week. The unions are seeking a cost of living payment along with a new pay deal in the contract negotiations. The ambulance union strike, well, potential strike, is just one of many of the National Health Service that they're dealing with in the first quarter of this year. Nursing unions suspended a strike last month after the government promised to negotiate pay. And junior doctors, well, they're still on strike. And that strike should be continuing through the end of this week. And one more here before we break. The NLRB has ruled against Starbucks again. In the latest case, the administrative law judge presiding over a major proceeding related to Starbucks conduct released his decision in the case. The company committed egregious and widespread violations of the National Labor Relations Act across 21 stores in Buffalo, New York. Among other remedies, the decision grants the union a bargaining order for one store, orders Starbucks to both reinstate seven wrongfully terminated workers and reopen a store that it closed in retaliation for union activity, and requires CEO Howard Schultz to record and distribute a reading of a 13-page notice of Starbucks violations. Well, I tell you, this administrative law judge didn't hold back. Can you imagine the CEO being forced to do that, reading a 13-page notice of what his company has done, violating labor law? That's what happens when you have a labor-friendly NLRB. All right, quick break. When we come back, Tim Berga, on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. Always connecting people with employment, with good wages, good benefits. ULAgency.org. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio right now. Welcome one of our monthly guests. That would be Tim Berga, who is president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, ohioaflcio.org is the website. Twitter handle, Ohio AFL-CIO. Lots to talk about today. We're going to start things off talking about transportation bill. We have one in the Ohio House and obviously one on the national level. Tim Berga, welcome back to the show. What can you tell us what's in this transportation bill? Let's start right there. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you, Flash. Good to be with you. Let's start with deregulating the rail industry that happened under the Trump administration, either rules that were put in place or rules that were in the process of being finalized that were stopped, are costly. And Donald Trump was bragging about deregulation in 2018, everything he could get his hands on. And unfortunately, safety is not something that we should be bargaining with. So the East Palestine train derailment, hazardous cargo, environmental disaster, economic disaster has really put a spotlight on this. And we're pleased to report on a couple of items. One here at the Ohio State House, the transportation budget bill, and all the budget bills are being debated right now in the State House. The transportation budget bill has been approved by the Ohio House of Representatives in bipartisan fashion. It's House Bill 23. And it includes a couple common sense safety measures, which we've been talking about for a while now. And we're now encouraging your listeners and union members and working people around the state to urge the Ohio Senate to not pull those two provisions out of the transportation safety bill. And we sent out an e-action alert on that about a week and a half ago. And folks can get on our e-action alerts by going to our website, ohioaflcio.org, and signing up for them. So that's what's happening here in the State House. And then in Congress, Sherrod Brown has introduced bipartisan legislation that goes even a little bit deeper than what's in the Ohio Transportation Budget Bill, called the Railway Safety Act. So some good stuff happening, and it's just unfortunate that the tragedy before we can get some bipartisan action.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this is a national story. And sadly, it's not the only train derailment that we're dealing with. Have you been following the news? I mean, there was one in southern Ohio, and then I believe one not too far from Sandusky. There was one worker that was killed, I believe a Cleveland Cliffs worker. There was an accident happening. I don't know all the details. These are all being investigated right now. But when you look at the bigger picture on this, and Norfolk Southern, we have to point out, is probably the most profitable of the rail companies out there. Is this a pretty good example of corporate greed, where they're making a whole lot of money and not investing in their infrastructure, investing in safety? Would you go that far as saying that, Tim?
I think you can make the case. When you look at Norfolk Southern, they had over $3 billion in profits, not revenue, profits last year. And they spent $4 billion buying back their own stock. So obviously, now they're saying, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that to make things safer. We have to legislate it and we have to put it in rule and we have to hold them accountable. We've had five Norfolk Southern incidents in Ohio just in the last 4 months. So there's a big problem, and it's not just Norfolk Southern. It's not just Ohio. It's the rail industry, and it's nationally. So it's time for action, and we're urging Ohioans to weigh in, contact their state senators, and urge adoption of these safety measures in the transportation budget bill, and to urge Congress to pass the Bipartisan Railway Safety Act of 2023.
Well, it's good that they got both sides on that issue. It's so important, especially with the division in politics today, because, again, these people are hurting. They can't even sell their homes over there in East Palestine, Ohio, because of the toxic waste that was dumped there due to that train derailment. Very, very sad. Let's move on to some legislative issues also dealing with, I guess, taxes. They want to cut some taxes. And according to Policy Matters Ohio, this is going to hurt especially low-income folks. And, you know, this debate's been going on, as you well know, Tim, for years. Tax cuts, it's a very sexy thing to sell to voters. But tax cuts for who? That's what we're talking about. What are you hearing about this right now?
Yeah, tax cuts for who, and what services that Ohioans want and need are going to be cut as a result? It's very complicated. Policy Matters Ohio did a great job. Zach Schiller had an editorial that was making its way around the newspapers this last week that really helped to kind of explain it and lay it out. But there's an effort underway to put a flat tax on the state income tax and to make major changes in property taxes. All in all, it'll cost the state over $1 billion. And so who's getting the benefit of these taxes? And what services are going to be cut as a result? I really worry about education. I worry about libraries. I worry about all sorts of things that Ohioans count on, need, and depend on. So we're going to have to watch this very closely. It's very complicated to explain, and we're not sure of all the ins and outs of it at this point. But we're watching it very closely as the Ohio General Assembly has to adopt a two-year state budget by July 1st. So this is going to be a big topic of conversation over the weeks and months ahead.
All right, Tim, we'll stay on that issue. We got a couple of months here, and I know you'll be on it as well. What about that proposal to increase the threshold for people that want to amend the state constitution? I know they tried to pass that last year. I understand they're doing it again right now. What's the latest on that, Tim?
You're right. Ohioans were outraged when a handful of Republicans in the Ohio House tried to put forward a resolution that would require, instead of 50% plus one to vote any constitutional amendment that makes its way onto the state ballot into law, they want 60%, which for the last 111 years, Ohioans have had the ability to go to the ballot with citizens-initiated constitutional amendments and have it pass like most everything else passes, 50% plus one, right? Mm-hmm. So Ohioans jumped in pretty quickly and thought this was a real mistake and a real power grab and stopped it in December. Now it's been reintroduced as House Joint Resolution 1. They haven't scheduled any hearings for it yet. But this is something that if you treasure democracy, if you treasure citizens-initiated policy, then you're going to want to stay on top of this and make sure that they don't require anything more than 50% plus one should an issue make it to the statewide ballot. Start there. It's very difficult to get something on the statewide ballot, extremely difficult, and extremely difficult to pass it. But if you look at all of the constitutional amendments over the last 111 years that have passed, a lot of them have passed with less than 60%, including all sorts of economic development, bond issues, things as simple as water and sewage transformation policy, minimum wage. So we're saying, you know, and we've taken positions pro and con on various constitutional amendments that have made their way to the ballot. But the point is, if Ohioans can legally get something on the statewide ballot as a constitutional amendment, it should only require a 50% plus one vote. And we're going to be make sure that this, if it does move, that all Ohioans understand what it is and voice their opposition to it.
Tim, you know what's really sad about this? As I recall, weren't there like 150 groups, church organizations, civics groups that said, this is a bad idea. This was last year. This is not a good idea. I guess they didn't get the message on that, did they?
Well, in 2 weeks' time, 175 organizations representing millions of Ohioans showed up at the State House in December during lame duck and put a stop to this. Now, some suggest that the sponsor of this thing and other Republicans may want to do this to try to curtail certain constitutional amendments that they might not like. Well, what they've done also, instead of making it harder to pass a constitutional amendment with a supermajority, they now want to make it harder just to get it on the ballot by making the signature gathering more difficult. So we're hopeful that they'll come to their senses and not advance this, but we should probably expect that they're going to try hard to do it.
Tim Berge, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, you got a lot on your plate. You keep on it, and we'll talk to you next month and get an update on all this. Okay, my brother?
Okay, thank you, Flash. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, complete updates. Go to ohioaflcio.org, ohioaflcio.org. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Frank Matthews, on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. Let's go to line number two right now, and welcome to the show. Each and every month, we check in with the Communication Workers of America, and that would be Mr. Frank Matthews, who heads District 4. That includes five states in the Midwest: Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And I'll tell you, a lot of good news coming out of Michigan, Mr. Matthews. Right to work might be going bye-bye. What are you hearing, my friend?
You know, I'm a diehard Buckeye, but you don't hear me say go blue very often, and I'm saying go blue right now because Michigan is they're doing some phenomenal things up there. You know, we as our vice president here in District 4, Linda Hinton, always says, elections matter. And the people spoke loud and clear last November And for the first time in about a decade and a half, working friendly folks took over both the House and Senate up in Michigan. And, of course, we've got Governor Gretchen Whitmer up there, who is a total friend of labor and working families. So it was just really a matter of time before the powers that be started reversing a lot of these anti-worker laws and repressive things that basically starting with Governor Snyder and his crew had started passing up there, you know, a decade or better ago. So, yeah, right to work in the House last Tuesday, House Bill 4005 and 4007, which was the right to work and prevailing wage, were both passed straight party line votes, like 54 to 50. It was a great day. Now we look for the Senate bills. The Senate will be meeting again. They're liable to be in session right now today, but hoping that something happens there by next week, for in any case, over the next week or two, and we get the same bills. I think it's Senate Bill 34 is the right to work in Michigan. Before we get off of this story, I've got a phone number and an email address folks can go to do their share in this case. But what's really phenomenal about this flash is that, you know, we've had, and we've shared the numbers. Everybody knows that 14 out of the 15 poorest states are right to work states. All these right to work states, they have lower wages and incomes, have higher uninsured rates, higher poverty and infant mortality. They invest less in education, and more important, you know, those other things are also are really, really something. But the most important thing is that because of lack of representation on the job, that these right to work states have a 36% higher that if you go to work, you're not going to come home, workplace fatalities. So I think this group, they've had a group in power in Michigan for a decade and a half that put CEOs and corporations first and foremost, and really didn't care about working families. And for once, it's all lined up in Michigan to where the House, Senate, and governor realize really that as working families go, and if working families are successful in Michigan, so will Michigan be. So very exciting stuff. No state has of the 28 that have gone right to work. I don't think anybody's ever, to this point, ever reversed it. And we're just very excited and very thankful that these folks in Michigan are doing this. We had a town hall last week on Thursday night and had hundreds of activists jump on. On the town hall, we had our secretary treasurer at the national level, Sarah Steffens, our District 4 vice president, Linda Hinton, Representative Regina Weiss talked about the bill going through the House, and then Senator Darren Camilleri, who is a great friend of labor up in Michigan, he talked about the steps in the Senate and what it was going to take, up there. So, and heck, we even had Hill Harper, if you're familiar with Hill, the actor and activist and entrepreneur. Hill was on CSY New York, Limitless, The Good Doctor. He's an actor, but he's also an activist, and he owns businesses in Detroit. He even jumped on. He didn't speak, but he was. It was kind of cool to have him on our virtual town hall. So very exciting. You said it at the top of this. You could probably hear the excitement in my voice, and we're just thrilled.
Well, you should be. You mentioned you had a phone number. We got to take this to the finish line. You know that. It's not over, but it's real close. What do we do?
If you live in Michigan now, you can call 517 489-2130, and you'll be trunked right into your state senator's office. And at that point, you just say, chances are it's a recording, but you'll just tell them, hey, I'm a constituent. I live in the state of Michigan. We need you to vote for Senate Bill 34. And if you're outside of Michigan or in Michigan, we've even got an online petition. And this is easy to remember. Go to actionnetwork.org/petitions/MIRTW. It stands for Michigan Right to Work Petition. And if you put in the Action Network and any of that other stuff, you'll get there. But it's actually a place where you can go online, do an online petition to get your name on a petition that will be sent to all House reps and senators in Michigan, urging them to overturn this awful law. You know, what was really, really cool about the town hall flash was that, you know, that there was a video on it that basically went back through the origins of Right to Work and how it was basically a repressive law and who was behind it. And, you know, it was basically to perpetuate the Jim Crow South, and how it actually hurt returning veterans back in the 30s because they came back from war and wanted to actually make some money now that America was turned around. And it even went into Vance Muse, is long known as the father of Right to Work. And this guy was just an awful individual. And it went into some of his history and the things that he did. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he's known as the father of Right to Work. We call it so-called Right to Work. But he spent most of his career, he fought women's suffrage and worked to actually continue women to be unable to vote. He worked to defeat a proposed constitutional amendment prohibiting child labor. He lobbied for higher tariffs, and he actually sought to repeal the 8-hour workday. And if this doesn't sound familiar, he first attracted national attention in his work with the Southern Committee when they fought to deny Roosevelt's renomination in 1936 on the grounds that the New Deal would threaten the South's racial order. So the presentation was, hey, if you're supporting Right to Work, maybe you should know who you're following and who brought this on. Maybe you won't be so thrilled to consider it. You know, we really went into depth. It's one of those terms that sounds good on the surface, which is why we call it so-called Right to Work. There's nothing about Right to Work with Right to Work. It's about holding workers down, hurting labor unions that, you know, historically look out for workers. And it's just very exciting to see that somebody's getting it, and we can't wait to see Michigan once this is repealed.
Well, my man, you did your homework on this issue. I really appreciate the historical references there. That's good stuff. Well, let me repeat that number in Michigan. If you are living in Michigan, now we're podcast all over the world, but those of you living in Michigan, you got to call this number, 517, area code 517-489-2130. Let me repeat that, 517-489-2130. And also, the Action Network, actionnetwork.org. If you just Google Action Network, Right to Work, it'll take you right to that online petition. And that's a service I know the AFL-CIO has used for a number of campaigns, and it's been very effective, very, very effective. So actionnetwork.org is a website there. And this could come to a head this week. The Senate, as Frank indicated, they're meeting. In fact, there's a meeting today. Whether it'll be done today, that's hard to say. But we are very, very close to ending Right to Work. And to your point, I was reading earlier, Frank, this will be, once it's repealed, it'll be the first such state legislative action in 58 years. In 58 years. Amazing stuff. Well, we appreciate what the CWA has done in all unions, because this was a great fight. And again, not over, but very close to the finish line. We'll continue our conversation speaking with Frank Matthews, District 4 rep for the CWA, cwa-union.org, back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's L-I-U-N-A.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Melissa Cropper, who also serves as Secretary Treasurer, the AFL-CIO in the state of Ohio, will be joining us next week. Right now, though, let's go back to our live line, rejoin Frank Matthews on behalf of one of our national sponsors, the CWA, Communication Workers of America, cwa-union.org. The good news is we're very close to repealing right to work in the state of Michigan. You were telling me here and during the break, I guess one lawmaker is crying that there's not enough transparency in what's been going on for the last couple of weeks in Michigan. Can you reference that to our listeners?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We got a report that we had the room overflow rooms were filled. I guess they had five or six overflow rooms with mostly working folks up there, and one Republican lawmaker who got up and was really crying and whining about how, you know, and they're actually in a hearing for the, you know, to cover this, and they've had hearings, and he's basically crying that, you know, they haven't had enough hearings, there was lack of transparency. And at that point, one of our friends in the Michigan House up there that had just had enough and got up and said, wait a second, let's go back a history lesson. You know, 10 years ago when, their party swore that they weren't going to mess with right to work, and in the middle of the night, without one hearing, They in secret passed this darn thing, and I guess it got kind of quiet up there after that. But you if you live in a glass house, don't be throwing stones. I guess that's the old adage. And they passed this terrible law in the dead of night, no hearings, and then to have the gall to get up and complain about transparency is pretty hypocritical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got a taste of their own medicine on that one. All right, we'll see what happens. Again, that number, 517-489-2130, if you live in the state of Michigan. We got to get this to the finish line. Also, actionnetwork.org for the petition. Just Google Action Network Right to Work. It'll take you right to that online petition. Well, this coupled with the reintroduced PRO Act, I believe it was last week, and it's now the Richard Trumka Protect the Right to Organize Act, which would also repeal right to work on a national basis. How do you feel about this? Now, we got a Republican House. Some are saying it's not going to go anywhere. Any thoughts on this moving forward here, Frank?
Well, and it may not. I got to think it puts it, especially it puts some of the, the same 200 plus that supported it the last time stayed on it this time as far as working family, working friendly politicians. So I think it's going to box some of these these politicians in a corner, especially in areas that, you know, they'll in the House where they'll be up again next year. And how do you come out against this bill and say you're not, you know, that you're not in the pocket of CEOs and corporations? And I don't think you can. I think that the last election spoke volumes in what historically should have been a red wave, and we actually, you know, the there just wasn't. They didn't take control of the Senate. They have a slim four vote, if you will, margin in the House when there was predictions of a 20 to 30 vote margin. And I think it's all based around workers' rights. And people out here are tired. They're sick and tired of corporations and CEOs at the trough, if you will, while working families are struggling. So, you know, we're thrilled that the message is this: the PRO Act protects strikes and protest activities. It makes it easier to bargain a good contract. It'll deal a blow to right-to-work laws, and it strengthens protections in forming a union. So many of these companies are, you know, they'll spend $1 million keeping their workforce from unionizing honestly, if they'd have spent a tenth of that on their workers, they would have, A, avoided all that mess, and B, they would have a loyal workforce that actually feels great about coming on the job and feels like they have an employer that cares about them. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's about workers and the company working together to make sure that both groups are successful. I mean, it does us no good to work with a company and not have first and foremost that both groups have to be successful in order to survive and go forward. And sometimes I think corporations and CEOs think that, you know, that they're number one, and you know, as long as the stock's going up and as long as the CEO's making 40 times what the worker's making, that things are great. And I think we've seen over the last 5 to 6 years that people are seeing through that. And I'm hoping it comes out of that mess of a House. But, you know, when you see hearings where basically they're arguing about who approved and who didn't approve a text of some employee that didn't even longer work for a company, and that's the priority instead of moving the country forward, you know, the House could be a dead zone, but I think we still owe it to ourselves, and we still owe it to working families to put these issues out there so a politician has to take a stand one way or the other, so you can totally tell who that politician is. You know, some of these guys, some of these politicians, the only thing they hate worse is taking a stand to where they have to commit one way or the other, and I think that's what we need to start doing. We need to start forcing politicians to show just which side they're on, and there's no bill like the PRO Act that will do that, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And when election comes around, you show them the record. You show them the record. That's what it's all about. Now, you know, a lot of this would be a moot point if more companies would follow Microsoft's lead, and I know there was a White House roundtable on this issue. You and I talked about, and this was a surprise to me and to a whole lot of people, because Microsoft over the years acquired a number of gaming companies, and those workers, like many gamers, are trying to organize. And Microsoft said, well, you know what? If you want to organize, go ahead. We're going to stay out of the way. We're going to stay neutral, which which blew me away. I'm like, whoa. Frank, do you realize how many union members we'd have in America if more companies followed Microsoft's lead? Did you ever think about that?
I think we saw it after COVID and with all the, and we've talked about this, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but during COVID, the actual union, unions became cool again. And I'm not saying we never were cool, but right now 70% of Americans that aren't in unions say that if they could be in a union, they would. And they saw during COVID particularly how having that voice on the job, having representation, having that rapport with an employer, we saw that fewer union members were let go during COVID. Fewer union members saw the hardships that a lot did because they had that voice on the work site, and the CEO, Johnny CEO, couldn't just come in and say, okay, everybody's going home today, or, oh, you know what, if you want to keep working here, you can only work 2 days a week. Having that voice on the job and that contract that said what could and couldn't be done was crucial. And, when Microsoft actually last year established a approach to management, which they titled Principles on Employee Organizing and Engagement with Labor Organizations. And the important thing of this is they outlined an open and constructive approach, promoting dialogue, and actually instructing and telling managers how to be neutral in such cases. And like you said, it's unheard of. It's phenomenal. We have such respect for them. When you see video game companies like Amazon, Apple, and Activision that have launched such aggressive and often illegal anti-union campaigns, it's pretty refreshing to see Microsoft take a different approach. And, a lot of this came out when Microsoft is in the process of acquiring Activision. And it's basically a European model. And we're asking that the federal government take the European model of approving the merger between Activision and Microsoft. Microsoft actually went to work with us, and this is a good indicator here. You think, oh, okay, well, maybe that's a one-off. Well, Microsoft teamed with CWA and a couple other groups back in October at five locations around the country, and in District 4 here, we actually went into Detroit Metropolitan Housing Project in Detroit. And what Microsoft did was set up almost like a carnival, and we had labor there. We had broadband providers there. They helped with a lot of this, and it basically was a sign-up location for people for the Affordable Connectivity Program, which we've talked about before, where people get a $30 coupon for a $30 broadband program, which basically gives them broadband for free. And, it's set up tables. And so I think they're showing right there that this isn't a one-off, that they may be in this for the long haul with working families, and it's very refreshing.
It is certainly refreshing, Mr. Matthews. Good to hear. Good stuff happening in America, especially in Michigan, repealing right to work. I want to repeat that number one more time if you live in the state of Michigan. It's 517-489-2130. 517-489-2130. Let's get this over the finish line. Also, petition online at the Action Network, actionnetwork.org. You take care, and we'll talk to you next month, okay, brother?
Take care, brother. We'll see you.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the American Federation of Government Employees and the Aircraft Mechanics Union. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.